of you know me, few of you do not know me. My name is To-sang. So I'd like to be called To-sang for 2023. To doesn't mean anything. To-sang is what my mom calls me. So I'm thinking a lot about my mom. So, hey, this scripture to encourage you, and then we're just going to spend a few minutes to encourage each other. All right. The gathering of the people, there's two things that I think is essential that you can't get anywhere. One is corporate worship, all right? I love singing, I love making joyful noise, but it's so much more fun singing with people who can sing in tune. You know what I mean? I like, oh, okay, I just sang that wrongly. All right, and then the other one is corporate fellowship. Very hard to do that on your own. You know what I mean? You need at least one or two to have real fellowship. So we are better together because in that space we can do worship together. And with the corporate worship, there is actually a corporate anointing that God come because God loves to dwell in the praises of his people. All right. So a couple of scripture to think about, and then we're just going to spend a few minutes to encourage each other, all right? This is from Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Then verse 23 says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. I didn't think that Holly ended up with that Jesus Christ, our living hope. We're just talking in prayer, how things flow. This is good. Okay. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope, which is obviously Jesus Christ, our living hope, without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. That's Jesus Christ again. He said, if you're mine, I'm going to take you all the way to the glory train and all the way to heaven with me. And then verse 24 is what we're going to practice now. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is in habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So why don't you spend a few minutes? There's a few new faces here. Just go and say hello to a few people. You know, some people you haven't seen last year, and some people last night, but some people I haven't seen before, Harry and Rebecca. They're all the way from Brazil. So, yeah, please get up and move around and just put a smile and encourage each other. I know it's hard. Jeff and Joe, good to see you. All right, that's really good. 30 seconds. 25. 20 seconds. 15 seconds. Ten seconds. 1 second. isn't that good, isn't it? That you can bring a smile to someone's face, give them a hug, and then give them a brotherly and sisterly love in the name of Jesus. I mean, there's nothing better than that. So another way of encouraging is to hear people's journey and stories. So we're going to hear three stories, three journeys from three people from three different countries. How good is that? In this small congregation, we got three people from three countries sharing. So the first one is King Edward Winter. Just a quick question, Eddie. His nickname is Eddie. Formerly, he's called King Edward. But how long have you been here in this Marin Vineyard Fellowship?
Since I was born. So coming up on 22 years.
Wow.
Oh, that was it.
Go for it.
It's a pretty good intro, I think. Yeah. So hello, everyone. It's nice to see some new faces and some old ones as well. So my name's Eddie, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about my journey of the last few years, leading up to now, and some of the things I've learned and things that God's growing in me as I embark out on a new adventure this year. So today I wanted to talk about embracing the unknown and genuinely trusting God. I hope I do it justice. So let's explore what I mean by the unknown. I'm sure you've felt the apprehension, anxiety, or worry when it comes to something you're not sure about. It could be sitting outside a job interview, rehearsing the questions you expect to answer. It might be that exam you dread because you're not sure if you've studied the right material. Or it could be that you have no idea what next week, next month, or next year looks like. I think this feeling is pretty natural because it's hard to feel at peace with something you can't fully picture. I've encountered plenty of these challenges this year, just gone, which were completely new, unknown, and stretching me out of my comfort zone. This last year was my final year of uni in my primary teaching degree, and I had a major 8-week placement in which I did more teaching than I ever have before. I really enjoyed being with my class of year twos, and I experienced a lot of growth in my teaching profession. However, there were many instances in which I really couldn't predict what would happen that day, how my lessons would go, or what challenges I would encounter. Sometimes this uncertainty produced feelings of anxiety, and it was a real challenge turning up in the morning some days and not knowing what the day would look like. I think this also plays into the nature of teaching as a profession. I've had to get used to the unpredictable nature of a school day and adapt as I go. And you can prepare for lessons all you want, but there will always be something you didn't account for. My teacher's out in the crowd. Psalm 37, 3-6 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this." I read this as an active invitation. We intentionally put our trust in God. We remain in his presence and under his wing, and we'll enjoy safe pasture. God knows our heart desires. He put them in us. He knows the dreams, goals, desires for our future. God's desire is for relationship. He could bless us from afar. He could fix all our issues and worries. He's that powerful. But instead, he invites us close, intimate, to experience his love. One of the key things I've learned as I've journeyed with God through this is learning to be okay with not having the full picture. Have you noticed that God doesn't often show us an entire canvas picture of what's in the future? It's often a glimpse, an image, or even just a word. I think God does this intentionally. With a huge picture of what our future looks like, I'd imagine we'd take it upon ourselves to control everything and walk out our own lives. Instead, God says, "Here's a glimpse of the good things I have in store." This invites our response to be dependence on him. What do you have next, God? Where do you want me to go? How does this fit in your bigger picture? These questions mean we need to listen to God, obey his directions, and this dynamic is what brings his provision and blessing in our lives, coming close to him. We know God isn't bound by time, so with his power, he could reveal as much as he wants to us about the future. He could fix all our issues and make everything in life a breeze. But how would that produce perseverance? How would it produce trust and obedience, strength and faith? Instead, God invites us to stick close, listen for his voice, and anticipate his protection and love. This is relationship. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight." I find the first part of this a bit of a challenge, and I'm sure a lot of you might too. I typically like to rely on my own understanding of how to get things done because I feel capable. It takes humility to accept God's ways are higher and to invite him into the problems and into the success. The second half of that verse says, submit to him. This submission is obedience, listening, and following. God makes our path straight when we do this. The more we tune in, listen, and obey, the stronger our relationship becomes with the Father. Reflecting on my progress when it comes to trusting in God and embracing the unknown, I now see a major challenge ahead of me. Very soon, I'm moving out of home, living in a different place, and starting a full-time teaching position. All of these things are major challenges, but I'm approaching them with a hope that in the challenges, God will be inviting me to trust him. I know he's always with me, and I know the power in fully trusting him to provide, comfort, and strengthen me as I journey with him. I still do combat anxious thoughts about the challenges, but I know when they come to commit them to him and ask for his peace and reassurance. I've had to work at this, but I now hold a different perspective on the future ahead. The unknown is something I can be excited for. An adventure and a challenge doesn't have to be so gloomy. We don't need to worry because ultimately God wants the best for us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So we talk a lot about the character of God, and we know that he's good. We know that he's loving, faithful, and that he desires the best for us. We can then know he is trustworthy and will always come through for us. The blurry image of the future is okay because we know God is working even when we don't see it. Our emotional response to the unknown might be anxiety, which is okay, but it's what we do with these anxious thoughts that makes the difference. Do we agree with them and let them have power in our lives, or do we commit them to God? Genuinely putting our trust in him and invite his peace to reign in our hearts. That's on us. We come to a distinction between those choices. I want to finish by encouraging you all with this. If you're encountering an unknown, something you don't know how it'll turn out or when breakthrough is coming, make a commitment to putting your trust in God. Really do it. When those anxious feelings rise, when the doubting thoughts come, commit them to God. And I was just reminded as Toe was talking, I think it's a Holy Spirit thing because I wasn't thinking of this before, but the very first note that's in my phone is from 2018, and it's a simple line that I felt like writing down on that day, and I feel like it's nice for today, which is cool. It says, "Don't trust in your ability to follow God, but trust in his ability to lead you." So I'd love to pray now if you're happy. Don't remember. Some sermon, I reckon. But it really stuck with me, and I think it's very cool that God highlighted that just to me now. So yes, I'd love to pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you desire an intimate relationship with every one of us. I want to give you glory that you are faithful, that we can always rely on you to provide for us. Would you inspire us to actively trust you in the challenges we encounter? Help us to trust you, God, and not lean on ourselves or others, but fully trust our Creator. Thank you for your everlasting love for your children, and we praise your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was so good, Eddie. Well crafted. Using Psalm, Proverbs, and then jump into Romans. And then the last one, you don't know where the quote come from? Anyway, Marie and I say to each other, faith is trusting not your ability to follow God, but trusting God's ability to lead you. Daniel gets lots of quote from Murray and I, and then he's like, no, that's mine. That's mine. We love it, you know, when our kids, I'm not talking about Daniel, I'm talking about our young people here, when they pick up something and they like make it their own. You know, the way Eddie, I wish your dad and mom was here, but I know they can't because of COVID. But that's so well crafted. And he's speaking from the heart. It's not head knowledge. So that was from Australia, homegrown and all that. And we're going to invite a guest from India. Not Julie Williams. Sorry, Julie. It's Jessica Williams. So the Williams family came through Dubai, I think, from India. So they just landed in this Marin Vineyard because they saw a note in Marin Library, and we're so glad they hang around. So this is yours. Go for it.
Okay. Mine is more of a story. And I'm not very good at telling stories chronologically, so bear with me. And I've had many testimonies over the past 2 years, but I picked this one because the church was sort of involved in it in a way they didn't know. And I just wanted to tell you the behind the scenes of what was going on. So on the 8th of May last year, I experienced something quite special when I was playing the guitar. I remember that day I was very upset. I was quite hard on myself. I felt like I wasn't good enough and I was not being very nice to myself. And I was really upset. I was crying on my way to church while I was driving. And I really didn't want to come to church that day. I did not want to do worship. But I'm glad I did because I believe I had an anointing that day. So I don't really, I didn't practice the guitar much back then, so I wasn't very good. I would just come to church and wing it, and I'll be like, yeah, the Holy Spirit can do his thing. I'll just sit there and pluck some strings. And he did that again that day. But it was so evident that the Holy Spirit was playing and not me, because I was sitting there and playing so well. And I was like, that's not me. I don't play this well. Not only that, but Holly was like, woo, I feel something going on here. So she recorded the whole thing. And everyone else was sort of just really into it. So it was very evident the Holy Spirit was doing something. And everyone in the congregation was also, there was applause after, and everyone was like, that was so good. So definitely the Holy Spirit was there. And I was shaking so much and dripping with sweat. As everyone knows, I'm a very sweaty person. So that, I believe, was an anointing. Now, this is very important to me because if I go back 2 or 3 years, I came to Australia and I joined a school that was that had a music program. And I'm very, very passionate about music. Not great at it, but I'm very passionate. And so when I joined the school, I was like, yay, I get to do what I love. I get to learn how to be better at it. But turns out that school just taught me how not very good at music I was. And being a self-taught musician, playing with people who are professionally trained at the age of 4, I was not as good as everyone else. And so I would come home crying. I was very humiliated in all of my classes. It was very evident that I wasn't meant to be there. And I remember one day I was crying. I came home crying, hugged my mom, just cried into her shoulder. And I told her how I felt. And she just said, "He will train my hands for battle. I think David said that. I didn't really check. If Toe wants to correct me, you can. Samuel? So it's not by David? Oh, okay. Cool. So she said that, referring to me playing the guitar. And it was one of the reasons why I was very put off playing the guitar is because I'm a very sweaty person and I have really sweaty hands. And that obviously makes it very difficult to play the guitar. And I've been like that ever since I was a kid, so it's not like I could change it. But I was still really passionate and I really wanted to play. I just felt like I couldn't. So when she said that he will train my hands for battle, I was like, okay, sure. We'll see. A year later, I got my ATAR. I was very sick that year. I suddenly developed some sort of illness that made it made me very sick, and I couldn't perform anymore. I couldn't do anything. I was, you know, just bedridden a lot of the time. And when I got my ATAR, I was very, very, very upset. It wasn't that bad, but I put a lot of expectations on myself, so I decided to give up music, and I was like, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough for this. I took my guitar, and I threw it at John. I was like, you can have this now, and he's like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm not good enough to play the guitar anymore, and he's like, well, what's the point of this? I'm left-handed. So I had to take it back, shoved it under my bed, and never picked it up again. A year and a half later, it comes to the day that I had my anointing. And I instantly knew what it was. I realized this is why I play the guitar, not for music programs and performances and all that, but to worship God. And that really fired me up. And I was like, yes, this is why I'm going to play the guitar. I don't care if I have sweaty hands. I'm going to play for the kingdom. But you know what comes with an anointing? Spiritual attacks. A week later, my dad got COVID. That same day, I ended up in hospital. A couple weeks after that, my dad got into an accident. I was sick. Everyone else was sick. Things were just, a lot of bad things were happening. And it was really difficult for my family. And I was like, yeah, I knew this was coming. Sorry, I told you I'm not very good at chronological stories. I'm going to move back like a week. So I bought a new guitar. Ta-da! And I bought it because I knew that I was going to be committed to this, to playing the guitar for the kingdom. So I was like, I should get a new guitar. Brand new, pink, and it's small. Suits me. Anyways, back a couple weeks later. yeah, lots and lots of spirit, like, attacks on my family. But the good thing about the anointing was I knew exactly what I had to do. I picked up my guitar and I went to church. My family stayed at home, but I was like, I have to do this for my family. And I went to church and I played that guitar to resist the work of the enemy in my family's life. And I did that. I tried to do that every single week since. I would play my guitar every single day, an hour a day. I would play. Even if it was just scales, I was like, this is for the kingdom. This is to resist the enemy. It's just scales. It's just the pentatonic scale. It's just moving up and down. But whatever I'm doing, every time I touch that guitar, it's to resist the work of the enemy. And for the first time in 7 years, I would practice my guitar every day. And then I stopped playing because I go through 1 month phases. And I knew after a month I wasn't going to play the guitar anymore. And then my friends and I started up a band, Another Groovy Sunday. And we had our first gig. After that gig, I was like, okay, I need to start practicing again because I need to be good enough to be in a band. And I started practicing really hardcore practices every single day. I did not stop. 1.5 months, I kept at it. And one day I was just lying down and I was like, so why did starting up a band inspire me and motivate me more than that anointing? It just didn't make sense. And then I started getting the sense that God was training me to use that skill that I am developing for the kingdom out in the world, because we were a churchish band playing secular music in a bar full of drunk people. And I felt like at church we don't have that expectation to play really well, because we're at church. It's not a performance, it's for God. We don't judge if you make a mistake on stage. But out in the real world, yeah, you get judged. There's a lot of expectation. So I felt that God wanted me to start pruning my skills even more so that I can go out into the world and do what I was doing for the kingdom. An important thing I learned about from this was about my identity. My ability to play the guitar is not defined by who I am. And it's rather defined by how many hours I put into it. And so instead of going, I'm not good enough, I stopped comparing myself to other people thinking I'm not good enough. I went from thinking that to, oh, I just need to add in a couple hours and I'll be fine. And I realized that was a huge shift in how I viewed my guitar playing. I didn't define who I was by how well I played, but rather just how many hours I did. And I felt that this whole, all the humiliation, the sweating, the ATAR, giving up my music and all that, I realized it was the enemy trying to hold me back from using my guitar for spiritual warfare, using my struggles. So now I choose to look past them and worship God no matter what. The end. I have nothing to pray about.
Thanks, Jessica William. Jessica William is daughter of Julie Williams. I made a mistake last night. They keep reminding me. All right. Just a bit of highlight. Again, I love it when a young one pick up. You're actually not young ones now. You know, in the 80s, there was so many 20-something that church planted. That's Vineyard legacy. But that's not about Vineyard. It's about God using anyone at any age. You know, and we want to highlight that. You know, some people say, oh, you guys are so much into young people. I'm 61. You know what I mean? I don't want to say how old Marie is. We're not into young people. We're just into people and what God's doing. And I love it how Jessica understood that she could stand in the gap for her family. You know, mom and dad, I'm not going to let you take the whole responsibility. I'm going to do my part. And that's part of the human responsibility. None of us neglect, all right? How many of you have seen Holy Spirit playing this pink guitar? You know what I mean? If Jessica didn't turn up, this guitar, I mean, I don't want to say Holy Spirit can't do it, but I haven't seen, you know what I mean? Unless it's tapped into something. So I was just going to highlight the few scripture, the progression of it, how David saw it. It started in 2 Samuel 22, 35, as Melanie highlighted. He trains my hand for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Then in Psalm 18, 34, it says, he trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. So that's quite similar. But then in Psalm 44, verse 1, it says, blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. You know, that tiny little bit. And if you know David enough, he's a worship warrior. He worshiped first. He played the harps. Did he play the harps? Something like that. That instrument where you have to pluck. All right. So after India, we have someone from Singapore, Joanna, all the way from Singapore.
feel really pressured now. Okay, as you know, I'm an international student, and I'm glad to tell you that I finally graduated last December. It has been really a long journey, a 3 years long journey, intensive, but the grace and the provision of God has never failed. So I'm really thankful everything has come to a closure, and I'm good with that. And it's like, thank God, I can finally move on to the next stage. So, and I was asked by Tor to share, so from an international student, what are the things, and how do I felt? So, to be honest, I attend church in Singapore. The first thing I came here in 2020, I had church culture shock. I was like, why do they do church like that? How come they're doing this? Why they are not doing this? Why is not that? Not here. Definitely not here. Ah, good one. Not here. Whatever I mentioned is the other church, okay? The other one. Somewhere down the road, okay? So I was, that was in 2020. So I was like quite, you know, this is not right, Holy Spirit. This is not right. But the people around me kept telling me, said, Joanna, it's fine. It's like that. It's like that in Australia. So you it's already very good. This is the best you can get. So I was like, okay. This is what I've given. All right, I'll just take that then. So with that, you know, I came in and then I was settled in. But yet, there's a stirring in my heart. So in 2020, something happened back at home. I flew back. My mom had she had to go through surgeries. So I went back for 2 years. I studied online. It wasn't easy, but by the grace of God, gone through. So this year I came back again. Right about when I come back to the church that was the other church, I was like, not right, not right, not right. And I began to pray. And I spoke to people back in my church, my cell group. There are certain leaders, there are cell leaders and the people that I'm accountable to. I spoke with them. I said, what am I going to do? And they told me one thing, Joanna, pray. Every day, pray. So the thing is because I like to pray in tongues. So every morning I woke up and I started to pray. And I said, God, you got to do something for me. You got to find a place where I can breathe, I can live, I can grow. And somehow the Lord just started changing. So fast forward, the story going to be super long. 5 minutes will not be enough, but I won't go take it. So fast forward, come back to here. So when I came to this place, bam, something switched on. This is a place where I found that the presence of God just flow, and people definitely play a big part. You guys play a big part. As an international students, when we first came in, we are all in Singapore way of saying we are very blur. We are like, what's going on? How can we do it? How's like that? Like for example, when back in 2020, I thought that all the bus drivers are super friendly. They are super good. I was like, because when I was sitting in the bus, people just come up, hey, hi, yo. How are you, man? I was like, whoa. In Singapore, we never get that. The bus driver would just drive. And then for them, it's like, wow. And then when you get off the bus, it's like, hey, thanks, man. Thank you, thank you. I was like, whoa. Why is this bus driver, all the bus driver in Australia has so many friends? Then I realized that, oh, no, it's not. It's a culture. So it's like, okay. But I like that. I love that. And I brought that back home. So it's like, hi. They're like, what's going on with this girl? So I was like, oh, I love it, I love it, I love to do that. So that's part of it. And that time, before I came to this place, okay, I find that it's really hard to find a church. A church is tough to find a church, and it's even tougher to fit right in. Because you do not know what the atmosphere is going to be like, the people is going to be like. But you guys really make it easy. Why? Because when I came in, you know, some of you actually took the initiative to come towards us. I mean, the international students. And then I will remember people like Neil, Ruth, and then, of course, Melanie, and definitely Tor and Maria, you know, they prayed for me during my difficult times. It means a lot. It really helped me to know that I have a family right here. I have friends to back me up. That is much more important because as international people, I mean, foreigners, we came here, we have nobody helped me. There is such helplessness, a lot of apprehensive, like, not doing well, and and you're away from home. You're away from your natural family. You're away from your spiritual family. So what you guys did, thank you so much. And then, because when what the other church, I realized that, okay, I have to be very specific. Okay, I realized that the international students are not really well taken care. I'm very sad to say that. It's because, and of course, I understand some of the pastoral staff or the church staff from Myanmar church, they felt that they don't want to invest too much time because, come on, guys, you only be here for like maximum 5 years. After that, you're gone. That's it. But do you know that we, in fact, I got a very different kind of feel, especially of last night. I felt that students come here, it's not just a number we're looking at. Number is good, but it's not the focus. But because when I look at it, every number represents one soul, and every soul represents one family. So imagine there's a group of students, international students, you impact in their life. Where they go? They're going to go back, either back to their home countries, like me going back, you know, or they're going to different parts of Australia. So why I say that? Because last night, we celebrated we witnessed a huge event of our brother Alwyn's, you know, having a baptism. It was fantastic. That is a testimony of how good God is. So for him, when we, you know, within that room, those who are there, you prayed, you know, we prayed and bless him. And definitely I can see that after that he told me, wow, that's really good, you know, guys, you know, you guys pray and then you go on. And then that's fantastic. But when I look at it, it's different. I felt that we actually commissioned a missionary. Do you realize that, guys? The prayers that you pre-prayed for him, it's not just, oh, God bless you, go, go, go. No, it's like bless and go forth. A lot of prayers that I heard is more like, you know, Alwyn, you know, you'll be the fire, you know, you have the fire, you go, you know, spread the light, you know, be the one. So we are actually commissioning a missionary. So imagine, so why do I say that? Because I felt that the church over here, or rather churches in Australia, should aim to not to forget the international people, because they are potential missionaries going out. So no, please don't neglect. And I'm glad that you guys took care of me. Thank you so much. All right? And no, not finished yet. Okay. I'm going to use up my 5 minutes. So, yeah, I'm going to take my chance. This is my last chance, okay? So, having said that, I'm just sharing, not preaching. Not sharing. Okay. What it matters, you'll be wondering, you know, Joe, I don't really know much. You know, some of you, I'm too young. I do not know much. But the most important thing is you show love and you show care. That is the best thing you can do. Because if Jesus is going to be here, I believe that he will do the same thing. Not because like, oh, I know the Bible, you know, from Genesis to Revelation, I can quote the whole thing. Not that. But Jesus, when I read the Bible, Jesus, wherever he went, he showed love, care, and concern. So I'm thinking that could it be not that this church is a training ground for the missionaries? Just a thought. That's a thought of it. Could it not be that the next batch of people, which is going to be soon, less than 2 months, I was calculating, yeah, less than 2 months, a new batch of people coming in, would that not be the future missionary? And every one of us has a part to do in it. Not in terms of like, okay, I'm going to guide you through to all the Bible studies, things like that. Being there for them, praying for them, you know, standing together with us and say, good. Like what I really loved last night is like sending Alwyn to a very rural area where the Christ, where Jesus' name might not be widely known or accepted, a place whereby he can be the light of to the world for Jesus, and he be an ambassador for Christ. This is what I'm hoping, I'm thinking in the back, you know, in my mind. Could it not be a place over here whereby people would just send forth? Rather, they just gather and hold. There are people, there are some pastors, not here of course, they hold the people and refuse to let them go. But this is a place whereby you can trust off, whereby you send off missionaries to different parts of Australia, places whereby you don't get to go, where we get to go. For international students, sad to say, in a way, we are all given rural and remote areas to work on. You know, you're a blessed one. You know, you work in the city. But we have, in a way, we are blessed because we sent to the places whereby the Christ has not been preached. People that has not reached out. For the last 3 years, I've studied a lot about Aboriginals, indigenous people. I found that they really want to connect with God, but they connected with the wrong gods. So for us, what are we going to do about it? I'm proud of Alwyn that he made the stand, and now he's out on a mission, just that he didn't know. All right. So I'm praying, in my heart I'm praying. So guys, you are part of us. You contribute in different way. You know, it might be some of you did very well and I'm welcoming. You know, sharing a smile with me, I would love that. You know, some of you that actually pray for me, like Neil pray for me, you know, some of you Melon pray for me all the time. I love it. I love it because it's like we need the backup, we need the training so that when we go to somewhere and did the Christ of God, you know, for God, the kingdom of God. Okay, thank you. abrupt shopping.
If you'd like to stand with me as we've heard these great testimonies.